Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Snap back to Fields. Fields looking, now throwing. Got open man, DJ Moore, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Bears! Gonna throw, left side of the end zone, up in the air, contested catch. Touchdown, DJ Moore! 11-yard touchdown on a beauty from Fields. Left corner of the end zone in tight coverage. Awaiting the snap, Justin Fields. Moving off the left side. Free play for Justin. Works it down the left side. He's got DJ Moore at the 5. Looping into the end zone for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. And they're back in front. Fields looking. Going to keep it at 10 to the 5. To the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Juicy 7 for QB1. Play fake Fields, looking to throw. Gonna run left, being chased by Garda. It's all Fields. You can't catch him. He's in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Snap to Fields, backing up as he's looking to throw. Now he's gonna take off again. Sliding and gliding by defenders to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. On a feet first slide inside the 15-yard line. QB1. Aggravating the Arizona Cardinals. Three receivers left, snap field, looking, Fields dancing, Fields throwing, deep corner of the end zone. The pass is caught, caught by DJ Moore for the touchdown. Fields with Taylor motioning left and back to the right, takes the snap up the middle on the delay. Fields twisting left to the 5, to the pylon, puts the ball on the orange and into the paint. Touchdown, Bears. Fields empties it out. Three left, two right. Pressure in his face. He is gobbled up. Slips away. Spinning. Breaks a tackle. Now running to the 25. Right to the 35. To the 40. And a first down. Houdini in big, bold letters. How he avoided getting sacked twice, only he knows. 18-yard scramble. Wow. Justin Fields with a 106 quarterback rating from the 41. Takes the snap. Pocket starting to collapse. He has nowhere to go, but finds a way out. Runs right to the 40, 35, and he muscles through 2 to get a first down. And they're on their feet at Soldier.
There's Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer on your home for the Bears, Justin Fields. Those highlights, like...
Throw it!
We didn't play
Wait,
those.
Did you play that one, though?
Well, we didn't play that one. Like, some of those buzzwords that you hear... gobbled up, you know, and he thought he was getting sacked, but then he spun away from it.
They were intoxicated.
Yeah,
those plays.
And then like on that last highlight, he said Fields with nowhere to go. Oh, there was somewhere for him to go because he was Justin Fields, and like with his legs, there really is no one like him.
Nope, one of one. I'll argue with anyone about it.
Like, I don't think Lamar Jackson can do with his legs what Justin Fields can do with
Not now.
His legs. Right.
Not now.
Now. Exactly. And he is. And I think even when Russell Wilson starts, you will see Justin Fields get plays. He will be brought in on whether it's red zone packages, whether they bring him in on some trick plays. I think Pittsburgh's going to play him. Even when they start Russell Wilson, but I think there will be a chance that he beats out Russ. We'll see if Russ meshes with that offense. But the trade was made over the weekend, and the Bears get a conditional 6-round pick.
The Bears gave up, yeah, 6-round pick.
It wasn't that bad. Yeah. It wasn't great, but he got a 6-round pick, and if he plays over 50% of the snaps, they'll get a 4th-round pick in 2025.
I thought I think my last thought before the trade was actually made was, is I would not have been shocked to see it as a player for a player trade the way that they traded Desmond Ridder for a player. Like, that wouldn't have shocked me at all versus a draft pick. Obviously, that didn't happen, but at that point, I was thinking they were investigating all options, not just draft compensation. But we'll see. I think there's I think there is a decent chance that you get the 4th-round pick. He's got to play 51% of the snaps.
Yeah, I do too. And then, like we were talking last segment about guys, again, everyone thinks there's a formula to develop the quarterback. Like, just thinking about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was, what, a third-round pick?
I think so.
He started from the very get-go. Matt Flynn was supposed to start for Seattle. Russell Wilson, he didn't have to sit behind anybody. He won the job, started right away. Dak Prescott, I think, was a fourth-round pick. Dak Prescott started right away when Tony Romo went down. So, like, there's no real way to say, well, a guy's got to sit or a guy's, you know, got to play right away. Many guys who have sat have had success. Many guys who have started has had success. Guys have busted after sitting for a couple of years, and guys have busted from the start. It's hard.
Yes.
It's very hard to make it. Unfortunately, they've busted in every way, shape, or form here in Chicago. And hopefully the next guy, Caleb Williams, won't. Like, one of my guys who I like, who played at Southern as a basketball player who I went to school with, you know, he posted the famous picture of Caleb Williams crying in his family's arms at USC over the weekend. And he captioned it, you know, Chicago, like, I guess, so something to the effect like, Chicago likes its athletes soft these days, or something to that effect. And it was that picture, and if you remember, it was Caleb Williams after the Washington game. What was the final score of that game, Tyler? Was it like 52-42,
I believe.
52-42.
He had himself a whale of a game.
And that was my point that I responded. Caleb Williams in that game threw for over 300 yards. He had three touchdowns throwing. He had one touchdown rushing. He had like a quarterback rating of 130. He had a QBR of over 90. He had zero interceptions. But the only takeaway against the number two team in the country.
Right.
But the only takeaway, and his defense allowed 52 points. The only takeaway that some want to have is that he cried postgame, which I still don't understand what the big deal is.
I think the bigger deal is how he played.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take a quarterback who is soft and throws for 300 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, and puts up 40-plus points. Again, I'm not guaranteeing that Caleb Williams is going to be a star. I won't use the G word. I've promised you I'm not using generational. I will not compare him to Mahomes either. I am hoping that for the first time that he will become a star quarterback for the Chicago Bears. That's what I'm hoping for.
I share your hope.
Yes.
I have no guarantees. But there's no guarantees.
No guarantees, but I find it funny that we're already, as a fan base, because what people perceived as their guy in Justin Fields, are already trying to beat up the next guy.
Well, there's some that are still screaming for the Hall. Even though you've traded Fields, still trade out of this pick. Drop back. Get yourself a J.J. McCarthy or maybe a Bo Nix and get the Hall. There's still some Hall calls.
Mm. All right, let's get to Aki's A-List. Are we doing your list?
It's time for Aki's A-List.
I guess we are.
From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world. Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
All right, Tyler, what do you got today on a busy day?
All right, well, we heard some of the highlights from Justin Fields. What is the one play, it can be good or bad, what is the one play that you will always remember from Justin Fields' career?
The San Francisco run, I think. I mean, there are a few. The Detroit run, the game they lost on the lakefront, too, because they gave up the lead. I always remember the throw against Washington, even though they lost that game at home, to Dante Pettis, I believe, in the push-up throw, because that's what I wanted him to be. Like, he took the hit, and he threw it, and it was an incredible throw, and he got hit, and then he showed how tough, because we know, the one thing that we always knew was how tough he was, and he took that hit, and he was down, and we were all holding our breath. And he showed us that he was okay, and he did the push-up. But he threw it just perfectly. And it was a perfect throw, and it was that same game when he missed the tight end in the end zone, too. So he kind of gave you
both.
That was
the tight end's fault, though.
It was, do you remember when that narrative was being spun?
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. That was a great throw because he had a commander in his lap.
Yes.
Like, and it was a beautiful throw.
There's about 10 or 15 of these that we could come up with.
That was a great throw. The touchdown to DJ Moore up in Detroit was a really good play because he moved in the pocket to create space to be able to throw the ball. Then he climbed the pocket and then dropped the dime on DJ for the touchdown down the middle of the field. I believe there was also, like, if you go, they talked about that, I think, in the coaches did, about how they knew that that play was going to be open, and it developed perfectly, and he ran it perfectly. I still remember the best throw. The throw that got me most excited early in his career was the seam route that he threw to Cole Kmet against the Steelers, and it was a night game.
Yes, yes.
Where, like, this is a throw you make in the NFL. He had an underneath cover linebacker, I believe, or safety, and he had a safety on top of him, and that's open in the NFL. And you have to throw it, and you throw it quick, and you throw it to, and that was one of his best throws. I think the in route that he threw to DJ Moore against the Falcons was one that stood out to me.
Yeah, a couple of the throws in the Atlanta game with the snow coming down,
yeah,
were fantastic.
Listen, I mean,
throws.
I can give you a list of good things. It consistently comes down to me, to use that word consistently. It wasn't good enough, consistently enough. That's how the best way I can describe it. Shared culpability. It wasn't just his fault. The organization needs the way the team was built and the way they thrust him into different situations. Shared culpability for why it didn't work. But he also has to share in the reality that he wasn't good enough consistently enough. That's just... This is professional football.
Tyler, they're probably watching the hype videos in Pittsburgh today, saying we got him for a sixth-round pick.
2025 sixth-round pick.
Yeah, they're going crazy today. If you're just watching the YouTube highlights, we know this. The YouTube highlights and the hype videos are incredible.
If you saw those, you'd think he's a top 5-7 quarterback in the NFL.
Of course. And some do.
The fascinating thing is going to be the Steelers fan base as they try to support Russell Wilson as the starter, knowing that Justin Fields is lurking.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the one guy on Twitter who was trying to get people to sign a petition to get the trade reversed?
I don't know how I missed this. Who is this?
He's starting a petition to veto the Justin Fields trade. Like, we're going to walk around NFL HQ and with our pitchforks and all that stuff and get the trade vetoed, kind of like what David Stern did with the Chris Paul trade.
Oh.
Have you guys not signed yet?
I bet you there are several signatures.
I don't have a pen.
Tell me
virtual,
how many
virtual signature.
How many signatures are on this?
I don't know. I can look for
it.
Yeah,
grab this.
Oh, I'm sure there's thousands.
Let's get him on.
He doesn't like either one of us because he thinks we're the reason why. Do you realize that there are some people out there that believe the Chicago media is the reason why he ultimately was traded?
Oh, I know.
The trade was forced by Chicago media not being supportive enough of him.
Well, Big Lock.
Some people believe that.
Big Lock, Eric Lock, tweeted me, and he said, because when I said that people are already rooting against Caleb Williams, he said people are rooting against Williams the same way y'all flipped and started rooting against Justin Fields.
Never rooted against him a single moment my entire life.
Y'all talking as if picking a quarterback number one overall is a lock for success.
First-round
quarterbacks
miss
way more than they hit. And like that,
to you made any sense because none of that is anything that we have projected.
Never have I ever rooted against Justin Fields. There was a time when I started questioning if he was their answer.
That's different.
Yes. But I kept rooting for him. I've always wanted him to be their solution. There was nothing more than the Bears not having to use a pick on the quarterback.
Listen, this is the same nonsense that, like, there are people out there that firmly believe that these conversations that we've had for the last X number of months have been manufactured conversations that we don't believe what we're saying and we're doing it just to inspire talk. I can honestly tell you, I'm not smart enough to conceive an idea that we're going to make believe every day and you're going to take one side and I'm going to take the other side just to... hot take it and get clicks and people to call in. I don't have time for that. I don't care to do that. That is silly and stupid. And to insinuate that is really weird, because I think if you've listened to this show for any length of time, we've been really consistent with what the message has been, and it hasn't been veering in any opposite direction at any time. Like, this is all just like it's psychobabble in a lot of ways. But he's rooting against him. We said when the season began, you know, the best thing that could happen for the Chicago Bears is that he establishes himself as the surefire, no doubt at all, quarterback of the future here. Because if he does, then you're going to be able to, then you're going to be able to move that pick, that first overall pick for the Hall. If, in fact, you got that pick.
But you had to be sure.
You had to be sure. And there was nothing about what transpired this season that made you sure that it was the right thing to do to move forward with him when you ultimately ended up with the first overall selection. Victim of circumstance.
You know, the
time and place. I mean, all of that goes into the evaluation.
One thing I'll be curious to see, because it's never been more prevalent in sports for fans to root for athletes over teams. LeBron James ushered in that era.
Such a good
and
point,
I'll be
Jeff.
Curious to see. And listen, more power to you. I think this has been an ongoing philosophy of this show. I think, Sylvie, you coined the phrase.
Fan
how you want a fan. If you want to go support Justin Fields and the Pittsburgh Steelers, have at it. You know what? You can be the one who has the last laugh if he ultimately wins a Lombardi Trophy and leads them to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
But I think a lot of people in this city are Bears fans above all else, and so that's who I'm rooting for.
Yeah, of course. That's I'm always going
to
be.
Isn't the goal here is to compete for a Super Bowl year in and year out? And I think we all agree that that is the ultimate destination, and that's the priority. How we get there, we can disagree on. Whether it is you're a Fields guy or you're used the first overall pick on a different quarterback, we can disagree on that. But at the end of the day, if you truly are a fan, we all want the same thing. You want your team to be competing for an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl every year. And however you get there, I would think that's what we can all agree upon. No, getting there, rather. How we get there is something that, you know, we may disagree on. But at the end of the day, you would think that, like, the Justin Fields fans are rooting for one team and everybody else is rooting for a different team. No, we're all rooting for the same team.
Of course. Of course.
It's crazy.
What's next, Tyler?
All right, so we know that Justin Fields won't be the quarterback, so we know that means we're ushering in a new era. In all likelihood, it'll be Caleb Williams. If Caleb Williams is your quarterback for next season, what is your win total expectation for the Chicago Bears, given everything they've done this offseason?
10.
Mine is no less than 9. So I would say anything less than 9 to me would be disappointing.
Like, you won 7 last year after starting 0-4 and not beating the Packers, and you blew 3 games in historic fashion to the Lions, to Denver, to Cleveland. With all that that you've added, you've set the table beautifully. Go out and win 10. Build on that. They're, like, 10-7 is not rewriting the record books and, like, going out and having a championship season. 10-7 in this league is doable. Very, very doable. The Vikings could be in rebuild mode. So, again, I don't expect them to compete for a Super Bowl, but go in and sweep the Vikings, split with the Lions and the Packers, win a game against the damn Packers, and then go out, win other games against these other teams and put together a 10-win season.
For context, 12 teams won 10 or more games this year.
Yeah.
And then you had another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more also won 9.
Yeah. You answer, what would you, your answer to your own question.
So wait, 18 teams were above 500? Is that what you said?
19 teams.
19 teams.
12-7. 7 teams won at least, or 7 teams won exactly 9, and then 12 won 10 or more.
It's a lot of teams went in double digits. What would your answer be?
I think 10 is the expectation. given what you had last year, what you were building on towards the end of the year. I'm putting more stock in your end of the year performance, especially defensively, and then what you add in your receiver room, what you're going to add in the draft, whether that's on offense or defense. You're picking two guys on day one who are going to start for you right out of the gate.
Well, they went, what, 7-6 after the 0-4 start? And then what were they since Montez Sweat?
Montez Sweat's first game was the Saints game, if I remember correctly.
So, again, I think they're a much better team. And I expect Caleb Williams by the end of the season to be better than Justin Fields was.
Mellor? 13? Got him at 13?
I don't know. I want them to be in the mix for the division. So however that comes about. I think this division is attainable. But they, you know, he's got a lot of he's walking right into a lot of expectations. That's the only thing.
All right, one more here. We haven't talked much about Keenan Allen, but that was the big news that came down Thursday night. However, one of his former teammates, Mike Williams, is also on the market right now. Would you rather have done the trade that the Bears executed, trading a fourth rounder for Keenan Allen, or gone out and signed Mike Williams for money?
He's still coming off an ACL. So,
but you could also say that Keenan Allen's a guy who deals with injuries a lot, too.
He does.
I'm good with Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick, thinking strongly, feeling strongly that that will turn into a two-year extension. So this is, at the very minimum, a two-year deal. And this is the type of infrastructure you need for a young quarterback. And I think I love Mike Williams. He does one thing. He's an edge receiver and does one thing. Keenan Allen could play in the slot. He could play out on the edge. Keenan Allen's a better receiver.
And like you said, he's an artist as far as his route. So he's going to be exactly where he's supposed to be for the quarterback,
Yes, I'm willing to pay a little extra freight for Keenan Allen versus Mike Williams. And then that's me.
Knowing that this is the deepest draft on a historic level for wide receivers, you're still going to get another, we expect them to still get, whether it's round one or a little bit later, another wide receiver to add to the mix.
Can you imagine, like, you've got DJ. DJ's a one. Keenan Allen's still a one, but he's on the, you know, I mean, he's going to be 32. If you get Roma Dunze or you get Malik Nabers at 9, like, the season starts with DJ, you're one, Keenan Allen, you're two, and the rookie, you're three. There's a point in the year, or at least in 2025, where the rookie becomes your two, and Keenan Allen's your three. Like, think about that. Where you get someone just a master of his craft, albeit late in his career, but can ultimately be your three.
Yes.
Where he's getting, like, the third best cover corner every Sunday. Keenan Allen matched up against the third best cover corner on another team is delicious.
Yes, and then the pressure isn't there on a guy in his 14th season or whatever it is.
So I'm just projecting, but the projection feels good.
Where would that put the Bears in the NFC in terms of best receiving corps?
Super Bears, Super Bowl.
NFC? If they draft a receiver at 9, so you're assuming it's either Nabers or Adunze.
Who's the best combo right now?
What, receiving combo? Yeah.
So you got Philly with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith.
You got Miami with Hill and Waddle. Well,
I was just NFC. In the NFC. But,
oh, I'm sorry.
San Francisco with Debo and for now Ayuk.
And then their tight end is
Kittle.
I mean, that's that's what I'd put.
And
then
you look at Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison is not
pretty damn good. Yeah,
Hockenson too. If you throw him in the mix,
I mean, so them in San Francisco.
But you're in now. You're in the conversation.
Yes.
You haven't been in that conversation since it was Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and was Martellus Bennett the tight end at the time.
And Forte out of the backfield catching passes.
It's the last time the Bears have had a crew like that.
Look, they're in the top three or four. Now it's up to the quarterback to deliver.
Yes.
And that's where all the pressure always resides. Always. All right, good stuff there. 332-3776. The good, the bad, the dirty. More football conversation in there. Some other stuff. I've got a shout-out for one of our local-ish teams. That's coming up next.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the
dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right. It's the good, the bad, the dirty. It's every Monday. We recap the sports weekend or anything else we experienced. It's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Avondale Roofing. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, check out Avondale Roofing at avondaleroofing.com. Avondale, on top until you're satisfied. I love that catchphrase. They've got a great spot running, too, where Joe at the end of it says, is that okay? He goes, yep. It's cool. Avondale Roofing. What do you got, Waddle? What's your good?
My good is just the sense of relief for everybody involved that Justin Fields is going to be able to go to another city and try to reassert himself as a quarterback in the National Football League. The Bears have made this decision to move forward, and we all don't have to talk about it anymore. So the decision not to let Justin and Caleb Williams go through anything at Hallis Hall together. You know how I felt about that. I've been called soft for saying it. I don't care. Soft as Charmin.
Who's called you soft for saying that?
That
you're glad it's over?
That I was scared of competition.
So
I'm glad that the timing worked out for everybody involved, and I think this is good for all parties involved. So my best to everyone going forward. I hope everybody succeeds. But it was time.
It was funny when I told Lewis Riddick that he was perceived as soft, too.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want a competition. Charles Robinson didn't agree with that as well. Daniel Jeremiah. There are a lot of people who didn't think that it was a good thing for competition.
And by the way, I think you described it best and first. It was like, this isn't a competition. And then I think, you know, Charles Robinson kind of echoed the same sentiment that if you're trying to move your existing quarterback and you're drafting the next guy first overall, the competition is...
It's over.
Right.
It's a TKO before it started. Right. You've already made the call.
Correct.
That the winner is Caleb Williams and that Justin Fields doesn't have a place here. And he knows that he wouldn't want to be here. He wants to move on. And he's in Pittsburgh now, and I think we're all better
for him.
Yeah.
You got Arthur Smith, who runs an offense that is tailored to his skill set. I don't know that Russell Wilson is a long-term answer there. Russ rubs some people wrong quickly. You know, he may be their starter sooner rather than later.
Sure.
It may be a good fit for him.
And it could be good for the Bears.
And yes, they could draft.
I'm rooting for him. Like, I don't think if he plays, if he does well, I don't think it's like an indicator that the Bears lost the trade even more.
Well, first of all, you get a fourth-round pick, not a sixth-round pick.
Get the fourth-round pick, and all I want to happen is, like I continue to say, the number one pick, play well. It's all I care about.
Get it right.
I'm rooting for Justin to be good.
Get it right.
Be good. My good is shout out to the Fighting Illini. What the Fighting Illini did over the weekend and what they've done here late, what they've really done all season is pretty special. Brad Underwood and that team, when they survived without Shannon for the middle part of the year, my guy Marcus Damask, and now they come into the tournament, red hot winners of the Big Ten Championship. And that 1-2 punch now with Shannon and Damask. They've got a really great team with a 1-2 punch and a really good supporting cast where I think they can go on a deep run and they can beat anybody. They're the number 3 team. They're in UConn's bracket. So, look, it's not easy to win a tournament, but I think they can do damage here. They're well coached. I think they've got everything that a team can use. But up until now, I want to give the Fighting Illini and their fans a shout out. They went to Minneapolis and they won that Big Ten tournament after having a really good season, dealing with some adversity. So shout out to the Fighting Illini, ILL. You're supposed to say I and I. Thank you. What do you guys have, Meller?
Happy opening week of baseball, boys. T-minus 35 and a half hours away from first pitch as my favorite baseball team, the San Diego Padres, will start the season with the Seoul Series against the L.A. Dodgers Wednesday morning, 5:05 a.m. Central.
They
cannot wait.
Did you hear, Meller, when I told the boys that they were playing in Seoul, they looked at me like I was nuts. They were talking about playing in Japan.
Well,
I guess they're just not true baseball fans. You'd think if you love the San Diego Padres,
I
like
was just
Jonathan
say,
Hood
yeah.
and me and Carmen and Connor do.
I don't say that.
Hey, what can you say?
We get somebody in trouble.
What do you got?
Me and Connor Bedard. What are you talking about?
Oh, good call.
My good from the weekend is the Auburn Tigers. They ran through the SEC tournament and are the four seed in that Eastern region now. Don't be surprised if Auburn is the one that makes the run out of the region that does include the UConn Huskies. They kind of feel like last year's version of UConn, where they come in as a four seed, but they are the hottest team in the sport right now.
How many in a row have they won?
They've won, let's see, one, two, three, four. They've won six in a row, but the dominance that they've played with, like, they're blowing teams out by, like, 15, 20 points in each one of these games.
Do you know who else won six in a row? St. John's. You know what St. John's did the other day? They declined to go to the NIT. My bad is why do we have an NIT if nobody wants to play in it? The portal opens up, right?
Today, yep.
I mean, like, what's the use of the NIT? You got a bunch of teams. I saw Tom Crean chastising people for deciding not to play. If I was a kid, it'd be like playing in the Sunshine Bowl. You're not playing for anything, but I go to school, I play football, I'd like to go to a bowl game. Why can't I go to the NIT? The NIT is like the Sunshine Bowl.
I don't know that there's a Sunshine Bowl.
I was going to say, what is the Sunshine
Bowl? It's a lower category bowl game.
What was the bowl game that Mitch played in? The Sun Bowl. I think it was just the Sun Bowl.
Okay, so the Sun Bowl.
The Sunshine Bowl.
It's an opportunity to go hang with your guys and have some fun and hang out in the bars and play a little ball.
You played in the Japan Bowl.
That was an all-star game. Oh, I played in the Hall of Fame Bowl. And we beat George's ass in that game.
I thought it was the Soul Bowl.
No, that was a Japan Bowl. Yeah, good call.
Very good.
I mean, why would if Southern was selected to go to the NIT,
sure,
wouldn't you want them to go?
Yeah. Now, after the NIT, I don't even know if they still do it. There's like the CIT and there's something else.
The CBI.
CIT. That's like the camp song, isn't it? We are the CIT.
I think there is. Isn't there like a CIT?
I don't know. The CBI, I think, is the last one.
The NIT, CBI.
I thought there was a fourth one, too, isn't there?
There was for a little while.
DFL.
I don't know if it still
exists. There's
the
DFL. That's for every team that finished in their conference.
CIT tournament, or if I just made that up.
If you played in the DFL, every team in a major conference finished last. Every team's in it. The best of the last.
I mean, all those players will have transferred out. The coaches will have been fired.
There's a CIT. It's the College Insider Postseason Tournament.
How many teams play in that tournament?
Four.
I was going to say eight.
It's the Lou Henson Classic starting March 19th.
All right.
Hosted by Stony Brook.
Tomorrow, right? Let's go.
It is tomorrow, yeah.
Texas Southern against Tarleton State.
Christian
against Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
Do you know what also, like, if you're St. John's or somebody else, I don't know, Patino had something else to do. Maybe some of the kids are going to opt out. Maybe some of the kids won't play, but maybe other kids will.
Of course. The NIT? Yeah.
Come on.
Have you guys submitted your CTI brackets yet?
No, just the CBI.
CIT? Did you say CTI? I've submitted my CTE bracket choices.
Or you forgot to.
Even better. Even better. What do I have in the CTE? You know what I got? I got the Buffalo Bills as the number one seed in the CTE college basketball bracket. I got the Twins. I got the Minnesota Twins also coming from the Mid-South seed.
Cue up. Do we have Only the Bulls song? Can you sing it for me?
Only the Bulls.
This is so...
Only the Bulls. Chicago Bulls.
Dennis Rodman made it to the United Center. Not just for Chris Chelios's jersey retirement. Remember, he didn't make it for when he was inducted into their
Ring of Honor.
Yeah, so he made it over the weekend, and they actually gave him the microphone to speak. But like only the Bulls can do, they ruined the moment. Take a listen to this. Like just as he was like addressing the crowd. The guy in the middle of it took the microphone away from him. Listen to this.
I wonder what to say, man. Thank you. All I can say is,
matter? You know?
And then they took the microphone away.
Right,
they
knew
the hand coming.
Maybe they did him a solid right there. What was going on? I didn't see the video.
Well, he was collecting his thoughts as Dennis Rodman.
He gets broken down. I thought it was a nice moment. He wells up. He gets emotional.
Yeah.
Did you think it was going to be another Waddle and Sylvie moment?
Could have been.
Kudos to the PA for having that air horn at the ready. It's a huge emotional moment. Never know when you're going to need that air horn, boys.
Is that a good sound or a bad sound? Like, I love it.
I love it.
Does it signify something good or something bad? Like, that's the sound
you
play.
I want to say, man. Thank you.
Here we go.
Maybe
they did him a solid.
When he started stumbling, they're like, okay, it's.
I'm telling you, I'm not so sure that sound effect is for a positive thing. I think that is for.
They don't earn the benefit of the doubt for me.
When things go sideways, this is what you hear. But I love it when they go, pew, 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 pew.
You see the guy's hand who introduced him come in and grab the microphone. And I'm like, what? He was just going to give a heartfelt, like he was getting emotional.
You know what? This one feels a little different than the Ring of Honor ceremony. This one felt like he could have been immersed in a lunch with a legend moment.
Why give him the microphone to begin with?
Why give him vodka before he's going to be on the air for an hour with us over at Morton Steakhouse?
At 9:30 in the morning.
Like,
oh, that was great.
He called me sweetheart for an hour and a half.
Honey.
No, it was sweetheart, wasn't it?
I think maybe both then.
I don't know that I've ever recovered from that.
He didn't call you sweetheart.
Yes, he did.
It was
honey.
He
called him.
No.
I think he called them both, sweetheart and honey. Yeah. I think he was, I'm pretty sure.
I called him biscuit in return.
Go ahead.
My bad is the news that young Miami Marlins pitcher Yuri Perez will be meeting with a surgeon. He's probably one of the most electrifying young arms in the game today, and that's never good news when you have to go see a surgeon for your elbow issue. So hopefully it won't be the worst of news, but never good with pitching prospects.
Definitely don't play that sound effect when you're going to see the surgeon.
My bad is the end of the Pac-12 tournament. Somewhere, Bill Walton sheds a tear as the Pac-12 getting set to disband after this. It was a good final, too, between Colorado and Oregon. But the Pac-12 is no more on the basketball
front. They represented, too, didn't they?
What do you mean, represent?
In the tournament? How many?
Oregon was a bid stealer, actually. Colorado is in a play-in. Then you've got Arizona in. And I think that's
You're not going to get an angry Mick Cronin coaching UCLA?
Washington State is Mick Cronin's in the running for the Michigan job.
Really?
Since when is Michigan a better basketball job than UCLA?
I don't know.
Didn't understand that.
But UCLA didn't make the tournament. Huh?
No. It's kind of a
Mick's a very
year.
Salty guy.
Is he?
On the court, yeah. He's a very, very salty coach.
A lot of coaches are salty on the court. What, wrap us up here. What's your dirty?
This is courtesy of Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. The 49ers will forfeit their original fifth-round selection in the 2025 draft and will have their 2024 fourth-round selection moved to the end of the fourth round behind the compensatory pick at 135. This action resulted from a league review that found administrative payroll accounting errors at the close of the 2022 league year that resulted in a misreporting of the club's cumulative player compensation. The NFL determined that the club would have remained under the salary cap at all times, regardless of the error. There was no intent to circumvent the cap, but we're going to take draft picks away from you. It's dirty. Dirty pool by one of my favorite teams.
So who were they shortchanging their players? Were they miscalculating
the salary? Misrepresented the club's cumulative player compensation. There's a lot of weird stuff attached to the cap that the average football fan doesn't even acknowledge or know about.
They mishandled the clock, too, a lot.
They do.
And then the overtime.
Yeah.
My dirty is, this was going around social media, if you haven't seen it. Check it out. At the end of the Orlando Toronto NBA game yesterday.
Be careful.
They did a jersey exchange with the two rookies, Anthony Black and Grady Dick. And with their last names, in that order that I read them in, they held them up. So check that out. That was very dirty.
They thought they were like
they knew they were what they were doing too.
Yeah, right. This is a very sophomoric type of move, which I laughed.
And the Orlando Magic at first tweeted it out. And they didn't realize it. It was up for a good half hour. Literally, it was literally up, and then they finally deleted it, and it was gone. What do you got, guys?
I think that should be Grady Dick's move, is he just goes around and looks at the roster of every team in the league. It's like, who should I do a jersey exchange?
Well, there was
Huge is playing center for the Mavericks.
Someone put out a list of like all the players. Yes. Like James Harden.
Yes.
That's good.
How about Tristan Small?
No, Tristan Small?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, really?
Changed his name.
Oh, don't you give me the...
What?
Don't you give me this disapproving sigh.
No, I love it. We were having fun with the... Never mind.
I think it should be his move. He should find, you know... I mean, Lonzo Ball's not in uniform.
You
got to
do it with Kobe White now, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean,
come on.
And then Lonzo Ball as well. I think he should eye up everybody. Do multiple jersey exchanges. My dirty, don't know if you guys caught it today, but O'Neal Cruz, yet another home run in spring training. He now has 7.
My man is just all he's baseball.
You're damn right. He's just reading right around the corner, boys.
Over the weekend.
And in case you missed it, it's no longer a dirty little secret. Pedro Grifol has named Garrett Crochet his opening day starter. So that's going to fix it.
That's good that he's healthy.
It's going to fix everything.
One of the few bright spots.
My dirty is what happened with Long Beach State. Their coach, Don Monson, at the beginning of the week was told, you're coaching the Big West tournament and then you're done. Lo and behold, Long Beach State went on a little bit of a run and they are now going to the NCAA tournament.
Hell
after telling their coach at the beginning of the week, you're fired.
Yeah, Dan Monson used to coach Minnesota, remember that? And Gonzaga back in the day. So he's a long-time guy.
That's one of my favorite sports phrases of all time. Long-time guy.
Yeah, we get the callers to say that.
Long-time guy.
All right, 312-332-3776. We can take your calls now. We've got time for that. And then at 6, I want to play you the Robert Griffin, the third comments about what he had to say that Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning. So we'll take your calls, 332-3776.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Let me take a call or two here. Let's see. Solo in Bellwood has been very patient. What's up, Solo?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Love the show.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I'm a long-time listener, man. I call in every now and then. Just wanted to actually defend Poles here. With the trade he made with Justin Fields, he wasn't going to get anything else, man. You know, everybody knows he's got the number one pick, and they're taking a quarterback. So there's no teams in the league that was going to give him anything knowing that. You know, his hands was pretty much tied. You know, so he got what he can get for Justin. And I like Justin. He did what he could here, but, again – what Poles is doing is what Ryan Pace should have done for Justin.
Yes.
Poles is putting a team together for his quarterback that he's going to choose. And that's what Ryan Pace should have done for Justin instead of starting Andy Dalton the first year. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
You know, a lot of stuff was
He was in CYA mode, Solo. It was bad. And like, that's the one difference, Solo, between maybe now and then. While the coach is different, Pace was in cover-your-ass mode, when I think Poles is building something and isn't fighting for his job. He's legitimately building the team.
Exactly. And I hate saying that about Pace, because I played with Pace in college, man, at Eastern. So we were cool. But, you know, the moves he made, I just couldn't believe it. You know, some of the moves he made. So, yeah, man, it's just, you know, again, it's unfortunate for Justin. But I think Pittsburgh, I just want to say this. I think Pittsburgh is actually, they're planning to eventually, I think, try to get Justin Fields, coach him up, and make him a starting quarterback. I think Russell Wilson got 1 year, and, you know, and that's it. You know, I think they're going to move forward with Justin. That's just what I believe. I think they're going to coach him up, let him sit behind Russell 1 year, and they're not going to pay Russell Wilson all that money the next year. They're going to go with Justin.
Well, that's all Justin signed for now, too, is 1 year.
Right.
Yeah.
He'll be a free agent.
Great. Okay, so, yeah, I just think they're going to evaluate him. I think Justin, again, is going to have a chance, an opportunity. He did, you know, what he could for us, but Caleb's a better quarterback, man. We got to get the number one pick. You know, when I look at the highlights with him and the other quarterbacks in college, it's not a comparison. It's not even close. You know, Caleb is far, far better than the rest of the quarterbacks, I think, in college.
You know, and I think Solo, you go back. And, thanks for the call, Solo. I think I was telling the guys, like, if you're going to, like, I'm going to sit down and watch. I would say watch 2023, but also watch 2022, where, you know, you'll see him play on time and in structure a lot more frequently because there was better talent around him.
Sure.
And he didn't have to play hero balls.
Someone told us, too, like, if you're come away disappointed with the Notre Dame game, as you should this year, watch last year's Notre Dame game, or 2 years ago, the Notre Dame game when he played against them.
There are no perfect products.
No, right. There are hiccups, and there are things that he has to get better on.
No question.
He's going to be a rookie quarterback. 312-332-3776. There is one former quarterback who I respect a lot in his media work who says that Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning. What does that mean? We'll play it for you coming up next.